welcome to Africa, Stories in the 55. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. This month, we take you to Nigeria to speak to a young romance and short story writer. But first, we talk to a Matswana trans poetess, an activist who is trying to change the system one poem at a time. Kakleho Kekolkes is from Botswana, an author and an activist whose poem, hashtag Bereka Mosadi, a resistance poem, is featured in Bahati Books' Black History Month anthology. We speak to her about identity, reality, and diversity versus difference as an LGBTI trans woman.
Bereka Mosadi, it started as a rant. I wanted to get some things off my chest. But what I also realized is that in wanting to express all the frustrations that I was feeling about being Mosadi and being a Black woman of complications, that is where it came out. It was to say we're resisting the systems put in place to tell us that we will never be enough as women, as Black people, as young people, as Africans. We are coming back and saying we understand the obstacles put in place against us, but we are still going to carry on wanting to be everything we want to be.
What does Bereka Mosadi mean?
So Bereka Mosadi is Setswana. It's two words in Setswana. Bereka means to work, and Mosadi is the Setswana word for woman. So put together, it means work woman.
You are Matswana, so you are from Botswana.
Yes, I am.
How are you using poetry to convey this message? You said that you are a Black woman of complications, you are Matswana, you are African, and you are also speaking about LGBTI. Can you tell us a little bit about your message?
My message is one of inclusion, but inclusion that celebrates difference as well as diversity, because difference and diversity are not quite the same thing. Diversity is to enjoy the fact that there are multiple facets to any one thing or any collection of things. And difference for me is what separates us in a way that I can appreciate it as something I don't have. Or what is there in you that is not in me? And how do I celebrate that? And so with the LGBT, we tend to give a blanket coverage to say, well, everyone who is not heterosexual identifying. And that starts to wipe away people's individual differences to say, well, being a trans woman from Botswana, we are not all the same, even if we are trans women who come from Botswana. And because we are not the same, even in one country, we can't be grouped and be told that we are the same because we all come from Africa when we look at trans women of Africa. And so with my work, where can we tie in our lived experiences to spot the similarities and what differences exist in the spaces between, and how do we celebrate those? How do we speak about ourselves without feeling that we are being boastful or arrogant, but how do we also speak about ourselves with the knowledge that in us knowing and speaking about ourselves, we get to empower others to speak and know more about themselves?
Part of the issue for LGBTI, I mean, could you characterize it as being misunderstood or people being misinformed or misguided or sometimes, unfortunately, hatred? I mean, how do you deal with this and how do you combat it through your writing?
Part of the drive behind my work is to live in a world where ignorance is a choice rather than a state of being. And currently it is a state of being because there isn't enough information being given to people. And when information is given to people, it's always with a bias. Nobody is allowing people the options to diversify how they think about things. A lot of people will say, oh no, you know, homosexuality is bad or transgender people are strange. But that's only because they've only ever been told that transgender people are strange. They don't consider that they've sat in the same room as a transgender person or that they know somebody who's transgender. And because they don't understand, they run with a mythological perception of what and who someone like me is. And so the difficulties that come up is in saying, I am human as you are human, but I understand that that means nothing to you as somebody who is spewing hatred towards me. And so how do I get you to realize that at the human level, any further up where we find those differences between us, you like red, I like a darker tone of red, but we both like red. It doesn't mean then that you must stop liking red because I like red. It says we have something in common, but we are still not the same. And that is what I'm trying to work towards, is to break down that hatred so people understand how irrational that hatred actually is.
I want to know how you see your poetry as a message for your own people in Botswana. Because you are conveying a message of yourself in your poetry, at least in this poem, which I loved. What would you say to the people of Botswana?
I think the people of Botswana who have been victims of a lack of available information that is able to speak directly to them. That's why I put work like this out. I'm sad that my people have always ever thought that all these issues of sexuality, because we don't talk about sexuality, we don't talk about sex, are now being brought up in unchaste ways and therefore can't be discussed on public fora. I'm sad that my people, in the majority who are in rural areas and don't have material that is being targeted towards them, are now having to sit and watch the world tell them what they are, who they should accept. And I think it is creating a polarization where we are telling people they must accept us rather than saying, hey, do you know why we are oppressed by anyone else? And for a lot of people, they don't understand why there's hatred, where religious systems have been used to pit them against us and creating this them and us. And my work is really just to try and say, we all grow up in this system. And when we recognize that the system no longer serves us, when we break away, we are not breaking away from you. We are breaking away from the system. Something you can do too. You also have the power to change the system, because I am not a different person now that you know that I identify differently. I simply have changed a portion of who you can see me as, but I haven't changed who I am. And I hope that this message goes to everyone, whether they're part of the LGBTIQ plus community, or if they are just a father looking to love his children in a better way, for him to say, I know that everyone else wants their children to become doctors, lawyers, or what I tend to call the serious occupations. But if you've got an artistic child, let the child be an artist and drive and support them all the way, because you believe that your child is unique and a valuable contributor to a better world.
And now, here's Kaklejo Ke Kolkes reading from hashtag Bereka Mosadi, a resistance poem.
You must listen to me now as I tell you that because you can read these words, because you can hear that voice inside your head, give it the loudspeaker and press record. Give it the loudspeaker and press record. Because you can hear that voice inside your head, give it the loudspeaker and press record. Let this be your mantra, your guiding light when your eyes are beaten black and blue. Black and blue, say out loud. Hashtag Bereka Mosadi. Because your voice is not high enough. Because your figure is not slender enough. Because your chin is not smooth enough. Because someone dared to tell you that you were not good enough. I know somewhere deep, not as deep as you tell the world, somewhere between your work suit and that little black dress you got from the charity store. Because only real women and overpriced whores can afford to buy nice things and wear shiny rings.
Up next, Amara Okolo, a Nigerian millennial whose story, The Talking Shoes, is part of her Son of Man collection of short stories put out by Peresia Books. She gives us a glimpse of what it's like to write about the Nigerian experience.
The book, Son of Man, is basically, I'm talking about the Nigerian men, that what they go through on a normal day and in their lives, generally what they experience. There's something that goes on like in Africa here and in Nigeria especially. There was actually something that happened when I was a child, when my grandma died and my dad, I could see the tears in his eyes. I could tell he was really upset about his mom passing, but he couldn't really cry because he just stood there and his eyes were like bloodshot. So it stayed with me even though I was a child. So I took back that memory, and then from all the things that I'd already experienced, the men I'd met in my life, in my family, and I decided to write a series of stories that deal with men and how they handle emotions generally. Because, of course, I'm not a man, but like I witnessed it and I was trying to understand, why is it that men are made not to show emotion?
This story, The Talking Shoes, takes place in Lagos. But I think that Andrew, the main character of the story, his reality as an unemployed dad is something that many can relate to, which is what you were talking about.
Yeah, of course. There are so many unemployed young fathers in Nigeria presently. In fact, that story was actually a real thing I experienced during my service here. I was serving in Nigeria as a youth copper, and then I met this man in a taxi, and you could see the pain. He was really talking about how he had to lock up his kids at home because there was no food and they couldn't go to school, and he didn't want the neighbors to know his kids were home when he was going out to look for a job. So you could just feel the pain in his voice when he was talking about this, and I just felt like, how did he feel at that point? And of course, he was going home without no job and without a promise of one. So I took that memory and that experience, and I decided to write a story about how it would be if a man is going through this situation and he really can, if he wasn't talking to us in the taxi, there were really no bloody person he could talk to about that situation.
This is not your first published piece. You also have a book out called Black Sparkle Romance, which is a great title. But this is about a woman. So it's interesting that you are, now you're speaking about men, but Black Sparkle Romance is specifically about a woman in the working world.
I really loved writing Black Sparkle Romance. It was actually a kind of experiment per se, because that was my first time writing a romance novel. It's about a woman who's in Lagos. She works in a magazine publishing company called Black Sparkle. She was an assistant to the editor of the magazine company. She's just a workaholic and she's very opinionated. She doesn't really have time for dates and all that. Like, even her friends try to set her up, but she's always getting the idea. And then, of course, she meets this man who is so different from her, who's boisterous, who is very outgoing. And it turns out that their meeting wasn't really all that pleasant. She actually hit his car. So at the long run, it turned out that this guy was actually the photographer who was on a contract to work for Black Sparkle Romance. And then they had to work together. So it was like someone who is very particular about her work and who is very opinionated. She wants things done in a certain way. And then she's meeting this guy who is so free-willed and who's so out there and taking life as he sees it. And of course, there are clashes. But long run, love wins. So it was fun to write.
Your writing embraces the Nigerian millennial experience. Both of these stories weren't about expats, but actual Nigerians who live in big cities and have big jobs or don't have jobs. I mean, how do you see this as a Nigerian millennial writing for this audience?
Generally, we write now about our experiences as Africans and Nigerians living in Nigeria and what we go through and what people we see go through, the things they go, because generally, writing about the Nigerian experience is basically 10% your life and then 90% what you see and the people you meet and the experiences you go through sometimes. So it's just basically people's stories that you're putting in words. It's changing because now we're telling our stories. We're having that ability to show everything the way it is. This is exactly what is happening. I think that's the whole thing that is changing now. There is no particular standard way of writing per se. Now people are writing eroticas, people are writing romance, people are writing African sci-fi. It's changing. And I think I really love the aspect of change because it doesn't restrict you. It may not really get you so much publishers, certain works, but at least the story is getting out there and people are reading them, and it's touching lives in the different way you can.
Thanks for listening to Africa Stories in the 55. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Next month, we'll have two new novels hot off the press. Until then.